3 John, and look at verse number 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. As we enter this summer, I wanted to give just a little bit of thoughts on health tonight. I only get one body to serve the Lord with. I only get one body. People say, well, I just eat whatever and live by faith. I haven't seen that work out real well. I remember I was at Bible college, and there was one guy that prided himself in being a junk food junkie. I mean, literally, when he went to work, he'd take three guys to work, and I didn't ride with him, but he was the talk of the campus. He prided himself, this is my lunch, and it had like three Twinkies and two Ho-Hos. It was everything, but it was all sugar, okay? I went to preach at his church about 10 years after Bible college, and when he shook my hand, he had pieces of skin falling off. And I had never seen that before. And I said, oh, wow, what's wrong? And he's a pretty big guy. He said, well, my junk food caught up with me. And he literally had pieces of his skin that was falling off. And I just remember his, what he prided himself in and the legend. And then I remember what you do put in your body can and will be used against you. So if you aren't careful, and his haunted him in a horrible way. He had patches on his body. He said it's just all the toxins coming out in his body. Just all those years of just putting nothing but junk in his body. So I want to give you a few thoughts tonight on health. 2 Kings chapter 5, I'd like you to go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you remember 2 Kings chapter 5, that's where Naaman has the little maid that refers him to Elisha the prophet. And in the time of miracles there, and Elisha is finally comes, well, Naaman is sent to Elisha's, and Elisha doesn't even come out to meet him. He just sends his servant out and says, go tell Naaman to dip 7 times in the Jordan, a muddy river. Naaman gets upset. I thought he'd come out and smack me on the forehead and fireworks would go off, and that didn't happen. And then one of his servants said, Master, he's talking to Naaman now, who's leaving furious. He said, if he would have told you to do something hard, would you have done it? He said, all he told you to do was go to the river and dip. And in a picture of obedience, God answers with a miracle. The man is leprous. Leprous, rotting skin all over his body. And he goes and he dips 7 times in the Jordan. And in response to his obedience, God heals him at the words of the man of God. And you have a story in your Bible about how God gives health through obedience to the Word of God. And I also know that was the second time of miracles, but it's a good illustration of obedience, and I'm going to help you with that tonight a little bit. You could call Naaman the Big Dipper. Okay, never mind. 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse number 7, ready? It says here, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. God speaks of two types of exercise in the Bible. Every Christian is supposed to exercise spiritually. What's that mean? You're to practice yielding to the Holy Spirit and doing what God wants you to do. That takes work. It isn't natural for anybody. Exercise yourself to godliness. In other words, hopefully every day you don't have an opportunity to forgive somebody, but when you do, you're supposed to take that opportunity and exercise it, because it's work and it's hard. And God says, exercise yourself into godliness. And then God says, in the Bible, God doesn't say don't physically exercise. God says, bodily exercise profiteth little. There is a little benefit to bodily exercise. In our generation, you got two extremes in our society. You either have people who don't exercise at all, or you have people who literally their body is their God. And it's one or the other. They either don't exercise, or they spend 6 hours a day in the gym, and that's all they live for is themselves, and they live in front of a mirror. That's their hobby, is their body, you know, and they think their body's a temple, and they're, you know, living for... It's two extremes. God says bodily exercise profiteth little. I'll give you this here in just a little bit, but the nutritionists are saying, if you have to pick between diet or physical exercise, physical exercise is more important. Now, that doesn't mean lift weights and eat ho-hos and Twinkies. Our society, because of technology, is so sedate and sedentary that exercise benefits people a lot. I don't care if it's just walking, but movement. Anything but couch potato stuff. It's getting yourself moving. Just start people. Look, if we can just get you to stand up and walk. Isn't that sad? So it is good to know diet or exercise. Did you know you can diet without exercise? And did you know that it's very hard to lose weight if you don't put some type of physical exertion with it? I've seen that. Exercise has now become a part of my life. Amen. So in the mornings I get up and I exercise physically. Glory to God. I drink 2 glasses of water and lay back down. No, I'm just kidding. But I am exercising now. God tells us here that God lives in your body, and you're supposed to be careful how you treat your body. You only have one temple, so please take care of it. I just want to say tonight, number one, please know this. Sickness is not always an act of God's discipline upon you. We had one lady in a school, and this was a long time ago. Every time lice broke out, she would scream, "It's a plague from Egypt!" Rich people get lice like poor people get lice. The only reason that you don't know about rich people getting lice is because they normally keep their mouth shut about it. That's what you'll learn. I've read several books on it. We had a school, and we called it, it was Lighthouse Academy, and one time I think half of the girls had it, so I was joking around, and I said, "Well, welcome to Lighthouse Academy," and that didn't go over real well. I said, "Oh, come on, don't be so nitpicky." At any rate, it just kept on going down. So I learned look, if you're going to make fun of lice, do it after the nits are out of the hair. So how many slept with mayonnaise in their hair last night? Please know this, sickness is not always an act of God's discipline upon you. Yes, lice is one of the plagues in the book of Exodus. It's a plague by God. I do not believe every person that gets lice is being judged by God. Sickness is not an act of God's judgment every time it happens. The opposite can also be true. Sometimes sickness is a trial, though, from God to make you stronger. You say, "Prove it, Job." So sometimes sickness is a trial from God to make you stronger. I wish everybody knew. I've never tried to figure out how come people get sick. "Well, I know why they're in an accident, because they're running from God." That's between them and the Lord. That's between them and the Lord. I'm never supposed to figure out, well, why is this happening? My job is to love and to care for and help. We're supposed to love each other, but I'm not supposed to sit around, "Well, I know why this is happening." People like that are idiots. That's not safe, and it drives you spiritually right into a mud hole. Take your Bible and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Did you know sometimes with sicknesses, sometimes God chooses to not provide healing? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and look at verse 7. Now this is God using the Apostle Paul here, 2 Corinthians 12, look at verse 7. "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations." In other words, God gave Paul a lot of revelations in how to administrate the New Testament church. "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Now watch this. God uses Paul to pen. Paul is, I think, the greatest Christian and the greatest example of a Christian. And he says, just so I'm not exalted above measure, God allowed Satan to buffet me and give me a thorn in the flesh. Nobody knows what it is. Many assume that when he was stricken off the horse and the light hit him, he had eye trouble. He says, "You've seen the letter that I've written unto you." Many think it was eye. It doesn't say. He just said, Satan was allowed of God to afflict me with something physical so that I didn't get exalted above measure. And then when you go on to read about Paul's thorn in the flesh, watch this. Look at verse number 8. "For this thing, for the thorn in the flesh, I besought the Lord thrice." He begged God, "Please, God, take it away, that it might depart from me." "And he," God, "said unto me," Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I'm going to make mention of here in just a second, but there is a ministry of suffering. And there sometimes God doesn't heal.
Well, if you had enough faith, you could pray and God would take that from you.
That's not true and that's not scriptural and there's no Bible behind that either. Sometimes God doesn't heal. Sometimes God gives the affliction to slow you down on purpose so that you depend on Him. And isn't that what it says? My strength is made perfect in weakness. And God said, Paul, you're going to go down in history as a great Christian, and I'm going to slow you down.
But God, I could do so much more if you just gave me the energy to...
I'm going to allow Satan to buffet you.
God, please take it away.
Three times he asked. And God said, I'm not going to heal you.
Can we just finish it there? Look at verse number 10.
Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. And then I wish you'd just mark this in your Bible. For when I am weak, then am I strong. You ever watch the family with a Down syndrome baby? It takes all their time. I've watched a Down syndrome baby draw a family very close together. You say, but boy, and watch this. They couldn't do everything that a lot of the other families in the church could do. They had a special needs child to take care of. And God says, when you're weak and you wish things weren't that way, God says, I can be strong if you don't get angry at me.
How come this is happening? How come God's doing this to me?
You may not know this side of heaven, but God has ordained it, and so you do what? You trust and you walk. But God doesn't always heal. Go to chapter 1. There is a ministry of suffering in the Bible. I think the health and wealth gospel where they say, well, you know, come to Jesus and see what God can do for you. And that health and wealth, I think it's satanic. I think it's very misleading. It's sad to hear people fall for that. I don't find any health and wealth gospel in the Bible at all. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, can I just read to you verse number 3? Ready? Watch this. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. God says sometimes He sends you, I wish you'd mark the verses in your Bible, He sends you through problems sometimes so that you can learn. You say, why am I going through this? Because you're going to meet somebody that is going through the same thing that only you can help. And God wants to use that. Did you know sometimes a lot of the afflictions and the pains and the health, some of the health problems that you face now, you don't see why till literally about 10 or 15 or 20 years later. And then you come across somebody who's struggling and hurting with the same thing. That's Bible. You say, why am I going through this? Sometimes God allows us to go through pain and suffering and health problems so that we can do what? Help other people that are doing the same thing. That's important. Health and viewing it right. Number three, if you want to write anything down, all healing does come from God. All healing comes from God. Go to 2 Kings chapter 1. All healing comes from God. We use doctors, hospitals, and you know, when Brother Hubble was in the hospital and he had that infection in his tonsil and they went in and they cleared it out. I think every time I pray for somebody in the hospital, I always include this in my prayer. Lord, thank you that they're in a good place. Sure beats being stranded in the middle of a desert out where nobody is, right? But we got all this technology and stuff, so thank you, Lord, that they're here. Help the doctors, but healing comes from God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and watch this. Look at verse 6. And they said unto him, there came a man up to meet us, and said unto us, go, turn again unto the king that sent you, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, Is it not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Baalzebub? Baalzebub was another word for one of the false gods of Ekron there, another word for the devil. Therefore thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. Is it because there's not a God in Israel? How come, king, you're sending somebody to a false god and you're not praying yourself? And God got so angry that that king didn't ask him to heal him that God killed him. Healing comes from the Lord. Only God heals. And you say, well, and it's not a doctor's knowledge, it's the Lord that heals. I could refer you to Luke 8, where the woman, having an issue of blood, she was hemorrhaging for 12 years. She had spent all her living on physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind Jesus and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. I like that scripture because it says she didn't even touch him, she touched his clothes. And right when she touched his clothes, she knew she was healed. Matthew 9 gives that statement. And then in a couple chapters in Matthew 14, it says word got around that if you touch the hem of Jesus' garment, you're healed. In Matthew 14, I like this verse. It says, when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out unto all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. Word got out, if you touch the hem of Jesus' garment, you'll be healed. God is the source of all healing. God and a doctor can only help you as the Lord works through them. Number next, ready? Medicine and surgery can be used by the Lord to heal. Okay? God's the source of healing, but medicine and surgery can be used by the Lord to heal. And then I just want to tell you about this. Be careful about allowing anyone to cut on you. I'm not against surgery, and I don't think it's sin to go to a doctor. I think it's wonderful. But you do know they're practicing medicine. They're practicing it. You need to remember it's a medical practice. You need to get a second opinion before you go in for a major surgery. It helps. You say, well, I trust this doctor. Get a second opinion. And you know what I tell? You say, you shouldn't talk this way. You know what I tell everybody on food stamps and in Section 8 housing? If you have free insurance, you better be careful, because there ain't no free lunches. And if you have free insurance, don't let them turn you into a lab rat. You shouldn't be taking everything that every drug that they send to you. Here, we'll take this. Sometimes they do it because I think I've seen a lot of things as a pastor, and I think some of it is criminal. But I've watched people come to our church out of Section 8 housing, and I want to tell them, please be careful about what your doctor's telling you. If you're getting free stuff, then they obligate you. Do you understand? So then you're supposed to do what? You're supposed to comply, take everything they give you, or they'll cut off the help. And I always say, be careful. Be careful. I've watched people get messed up. I haven't watched everybody get messed up, but I've watched a lot of people. Please be careful with that. There is, all right, number five. Everyone suffers from some type of sickness. You all know that we're dying, right? Everybody in here is dying, okay? All right. We're all sinners. We all have a sin nature. We all have, our blood is killing us, right? All right. So if we obey dietary laws and we discipline ourselves in how we eat, we can lengthen our life and help. But listen to this. We all start out with no hair, no teeth, eating mushy food. Do you know how you end? No hair, no teeth, eating mushy food. It goes complete circle. So be careful. Everybody is suffering from some type of sickness. Number next. Can you go to James chapter 5? James chapter 5. The anointing with oil from the man of God or the pastor shows our faith that God can heal if he chooses. James chapter 5. I think this is a very important part of Scripture. James chapter 5, look at verse number 14. Ready? Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, Elders is another name for pastor or those that are in full-time service. And then it says here, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And verse 15 gives you the key, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick.
I've told the story. We had a lady in our church, and she was hemorrhaging, and they were getting ready to take her into surgery. And she said, I want my pastor and assistant pastor to come and pray for me. So we went to the hospital. And she said, they said that I'm bleeding in two places here, and they're going to go in and they're going to sew it up so that I stop bleeding internally. So we anointed her with oil, and we asked the Lord to heal her. Then they did one more thing before they put her under, and the hemorrhaging had stopped. The bleeding stopped. It was not me that did it. Verse 15 says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. When somebody says, what is faith? Faith always has to have an object. When your faith is in the Bible, and God says in James 5, if you're sick, have the elder or the pastor of the church pray for you. If you have enough faith to believe that, God doesn't always, but God can honor the faith. It's not, oh, our pastor has the gift of healing. That's not what that's talking about. It's talking about, do you have enough faith that when you get sick, faith to do what? Trust the Bible and say, okay, God said, call the man of God, let him anoint me with oil, pray over me. And it's the prayer of faith, it's your faith in the Bible. It's not mystical. It's not spooky. I keep olive oil on my desk. I'm not trying to open up for business or anything. I'm just telling you that every pastor that I've worked for, you keep olive oil on your desk, and when people ask for prayer, then you anoint them with oil and you pray for them. And it's not you. Verse 15 says it's your faith in that book that says, okay. And I hope if somebody had cancer, if somebody says, I wish the pastor wasn't the last person called. If somebody finds out they have cancer, my goodness, before you go in for that, I think the chemotherapy is awful. Okay, I've seen it. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, and many times it makes their life miserable. And for those that are fur enough and the stage and all that stuff, sometimes it makes their life more miserable. I wish when somebody found out they had cancer, they would say, they'd go to James chapter 5 and say, you know what? God said, when I get sick, I'm talking sick. Well, I need to go have the pastor pray for me. And it's not because I'm special. It's your faith in that book that says, God said, when I get sick, I'm supposed to have the pastor pray. You understand? This is not self-aggrandizing. Look at verse 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults. It does not say confess your sins one to another. Confess your faults or your weaknesses one to another. I don't suggest you do that to everybody in the church, but it's wonderful to have a brother that loves you and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Anytime anybody ever comes to me to say, Pastor, would you anoint me and pray for me? I turn to James chapter 5. I read it every time. I say, okay, this is your faith in that book that brought you here. Now let's pray for it. And then I always tell God, God, you're not on trial. But Lord, you said ask. So we're asking. Ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. So, I think modern day healers are stealers. I think it's garbage. I just believe James chapter 5 is supposed to be very helpful when you're talking about health. Number next, please don't place any blame on loved ones when sickness comes. I watched one person get a blood disease, and one of the parents had had the blood disease. And instead of saying, this is what God has given me, like a 2 Corinthians chapter 12, or looking at the affliction coming from the Lord, they were upset at their parents. So in the hospital, in this blood disease, they're going, I got this from my parents. Attitude was horrible. There wasn't anything spiritual about what was going on.
Don't blame loved ones when you get sick. Well, must have been in the genes. Somebody, grandma must have had this sometime. Now I got it. No, I don't think so. I think that's a kind of a twisted way of looking at it. Please, I wish people, when they get sick, instead of blaming others for their sickness, would say, the Lord allowed this. God allowed it. Because that's the truth. God allowed it. Number next. Children need to be careful that are under the age of 12. They're more prone to sickness in the hospitals. That's how come they don't let children up to certain floors. And you do need to know that. And that, so it's not that every child is a disease spreader. But there's reasons that hospitals say if they're 12 or below, they can't come up to this floor. That's because children can be prone to, while their body's developing, more sickness and things like that. I'm going to throw this in here as a pastor. I think it's sad for those who complain about the church nursery being dirty. The same people take their kids to Walmart. And, of course, I've talked to you about dirty shopping carts. You know what I mean? You remember? You know? You know, and then you come up behind them and you got that cart and you're hosed. You're getting Ebola in 3 days. Please be careful. Number next, I think older people need to be careful because they're more susceptible and they need to be careful. I wrote this down as far as help for health for our church. I think taking a vitamin is very helpful. There's some that are more effective than others. I take a vitamin every day. I take a vitamin every day. There's something else I do to watch my health. I wash my hands a lot. Like, I'm not a germ freak, okay? I probably drink after people when I shouldn't, okay? So I don't think I'm a germophobic, okay? But I wash my hands a lot. You know why? Because I shake hands with a lot of people. And I don't think people are dirty. But they say there's a lot of bacteria that's transferred in a handshake. A lot of bacteria. So guess what? After handshaking time, after church, I always wash my hands with soap. I must wash my hands 15, 20 times a day, maybe more than that. You know why? Because I heard if you wash your hands a lot, it helps keep you well. Okay? So I wash my hands a lot. I think that's something that's a good practice to get into. Insurance, okay. Nowadays that we're talking about, insurance should be a reason for accepting a new job or not. Please be careful about that. Be careful about running to the doctor for every little thing. I've watched some families, every time somebody gets sick, they go, strep! You mean every time somebody gets a sore throat, it's strep? Did you know all of us have strep in us? Y'all know the strep never leaves, it just sometimes it goes higher than others. But every time they get a sore throat, we got strep in the house. Oh my goodness. No, I don't think so. Have you ever seen anybody with strep? I have. Visited them in the hospital. I'm talking with a high fever and they can't move. I've seen full-blown strep. And when it's funny, you know, when people, oh, my throat's sore. I think I got strep. I was like, nah. It's got a lot further to go. It's got a lot further to go. I hope you don't get it, so don't think me that. But did you know that all fevers aren't supposed to be cooled? You know what? Sometimes a fever over 104, everybody knows is dangerous. But did you know sometimes your body reacts to sickness by trying to cook the virus out? It's like, oh my goodness, I need an aspirin. Did you know, I'll just say it again, all fevers aren't supposed to be cooled. But I've watched people panic when a fever breaks out. I've watched people overreact. I don't think you need to, okay, I'm not for going to the doctor for every little thing. We, at our house, my dad was a medical lab technician. Every time I'd cut myself, I mean, if I got stitches, I got stitches all over my head. But, oh, he loved taking out stitches. It's like the mad scientist in him, come in here. And the man, he just loved doing that. My mom was a nurse. So I grew up, every time something happened, normally around our house, the doctor was the last place you went. And as far as I remember, when I got in my motorcycle accident and I had road rash all the way down to the bone here, I should have went to the doctor, but I didn't. I got out a big bowl. dumped in some iodine, warm water, lowered my whole arm in it, picked the stones out, put the silver shield on it. I should have went to the doctor. That stuff healed up in a week. I was amazed. I was so proud of myself. Then I had rotator cuff surgery and I hated myself. I don't know, if you have kids in your house, I think you ought to have Nu Skin. Nu Skin is phenomenal stuff. It's paint on Band-Aid. Anytime they get a cut, I mean, good cuts. You just paint on it. You say it's alcohol. It burns. Look, nobody uses methylate anymore. The old people remember methylate? That stuff will change your life. Okay. Remember, I get my foot caught in the chain of the thing, and you know, then you get these, you know, your foot peppered, you know, with spoke holes and stuff, and then Grandma says, "Come here." No, not Grandma. No, I'm gonna get. And she, you know, she opens up the cabinet, and it's just methylate, and you know, alcohol. And put your foot up here, honey. No. Goo, goo, goo. Ah! You know, that red stuff dies everywhere. All I'm saying is if you have kids, Nu Skin is wonderful. You paint it on, you blow on it. We used it with our kids. It's fabulous. It's fabulous. And it's sure cheaper than an emergency room. Amen? Now, if something's broken, go to the emergency room, okay? Number next. Ready? Here we go. Keep your body clean. Keep your body clean. I don't think I'm out of place by saying this, but if you're an adult, you ought to be showering at least once a day.
Well, I do it once a week whether I need to or not.
There's been sometimes if I'll do physical work, as far as like yesterday, I tested out that mower, and man, I had stuff everywhere. I showered twice yesterday.
You say, well, that wastes water.
Brother. Yeah. I'll say it one more time. If you're an adult, you might get by with it if you're a teenager, but trust me, teenagers stink, okay? I've been hours with them on a bus, okay? But if you're an adult, you need to be showering at least, most of the time, at least once a day. Once a day. And if not, you need to change it. You know why? Because personal hygiene will help keep you healthy. It will help keep you healthy. Next, just a few more things here. Another key thing in health, and I got just a few more things here, and then I'm almost done. One of the most important things you can do is watch your water intake. How much of your body is water? 75-80%, right? Do you know what the Earth's content of water is? 70%. Isn't that amazing? Earth and your body are about the same. There's a lot of water. There's more water than there is anything else. That's why you can't drink. Did you know they say over half of the Americans, half of America is dehydrated? What's the first sign of dehydration? They taught us this in the Marine Corps. What's the first sign of dehydration? A headache. Did you know most people, you know, what do we do? Well, I got a headache. I got to have a pill. Did you know a lot of, what your body is helped? Did you know if you'll just up the water intake, it helps your health. It helps your body wash out poisons and toxins. And water is so important. And I'm so glad somebody taught me about that when I was young. Something that you can do in your house. They did a test and they went through a house with a they were seeing what's the dirtiest thing in your house. The what? Well, if people had to guess, what was the filthiest place? It had the most filth in the house. A lot of people were guessing, you know, the toilet bowl or something like that. It wasn't. Do you know what? In many tests that they did, this was one, and I can't remember what magazine it was in. It was fairly reputable. Okay, this is not. It wasn't The Globe. Okay, or National Enquirer. But the dirtiest place in a house was the dish rag that's on the sink. It had more bacteria than any other place in the house. Do you know why? Because they'll use it to scrub dishes, and then somebody will use it to wash this off or wipe this off, and then, oh, I need to get... oh, yeah. Then they put it right back on the sink. And that ended up through a study that they did across America. The dirtiest thing in a house was the dish rag on the sink. Do you know what we started doing after we found that out? Remember Grandma's old trick? She put a bowl with water and what? Clorox. Do you know how many drink? Oh, I hate the smell. Every time I smell Clorox, I always go, I'm on the farm with Grandma. But Clorox keeps down a lot of germs and bad things. And I wish more people used it. As far as I don't think you got to use it ridiculously, but you can use it to cut down. Okay, what can you do? Where do you keep your toothbrush? Have you ever heard of this? If you'll just fill up a little glass with hydrogen peroxide and put your toothbrush in it. Now you got to rinse it off before you put the toothpaste on it, dum-dum. Okay. But if you'll put your toothbrush in a little thing and put hydrogen peroxide in it, keep it in there, kills the germs. Little simple things that you can do around your house. Did you know that the dentists are recommending that you brush your tongue when you brush your teeth? Do you know why? Because food particles get caught on your tongue and it'll keep you from eating rotten food. Okay, so think about that. Okay, that's pretty good. Number next, just a few more things. A dishwasher in your house does cut down on germs and disease because it heats the water up. So it's not that if you don't have to have a dishwasher, but if you do, it heats the water up and then it keeps the water temperature high and it keeps hitting the dishes and it does kill germs. It does cut down on bacteria and disease in your house. Number next. I think it would be important if a Christian learned to fast. I think fasting, God, there's many physical benefits as well as spiritual benefits to fasting and going periods without food. It's very helpful, very healthy. And take your Bible and go to Proverbs chapter 10. And we'll end with this. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 27. A schedule is very important to health. People who go to bed at 3 in the morning and then go to bed at 9 and then they stay up late and they get up late and there's no schedule to their life. A schedule can help your health. And you'll always notice that a whacked out schedule, there ought to be a time every night when you go to sleep. And your body should be telling you that. You don't stay up till 3 in the morning just because you can't, ding. I mean, my dad always said, bless God, 9:30, hit the bed. Well, I'm not very tired yet. I remember several times I'd just lay in bed, ding. It didn't matter. If it's time for bed, you go lay down in your bed. That's the way I was raised. You ought to have a time every night where you go to bed, and you ought to have a time every morning where you get up. And a schedule helps you. It helps you. Proverbs 10, verse 27. Let's end with this. Ready? The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. You know what one of the best health tips I can give you from the Bible is? Living right lengthens your life. And living a sinful life, the more righteousness you do, the more God adds years. It prolongs your days. In other words, here was your death day. Everybody's got an appointment with death. You don't know when it is, but everybody has one. And the more righteousness you do, the more God lengthens your days. And the more wickedness a person does, the more that moves it back. Righteousness prolongs days. That's all through your Bible. Living right and being a Christian and loving the Lord, fearing the Lord, it's good for you. It's good for you. And wickedness will kill you in more ways than one. Health, just some general thoughts tonight, and I hope it's a help to you. Let's pray. Father, please use this tonight. Lord, help us, please, as your people, Lord, when the world is living so weird, and Lord, so many extremes out there, I pray that, Father, you would help us as your people, please, to treat the body you've given us carefully, and to be careful so we can serve you. Please.